from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, April 1st. Coming up, public health experts say health inequities will worsen if Congress does not restore funding to COVID-19 programs. We'll learn more from Fadi Yousri of Side Effects Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois Senate approved a measure yesterday to pay vaccinated teachers and other public school workers for any time they took off related to COVID-19, such as a sick or exposed family member. Workers who have not been vaccinated have 5 weeks to get the shots from the time the bill becomes law, making themselves eligible for the back pay. Senate President Don Harmon, an Oak Park Democrat, says the proposal is not a vaccine mandate.
There is no requirement that one be vaccinated to work in the public schools. It is, however, essentially an incentive.
An earlier version of the measure would have given all school employees, regardless of vaccination status, paid time off to deal with the virus. But Governor J.B. Pritzker vetoed that proposal in January. He's expected to sign the narrower version. People who physically attack Illinois Department of Children and Family Services workers would face stiffer charges under a measure lawmakers approved yesterday. Alex Degman reports.
The measure says anyone charged with aggravated battery against a DCFS worker will face a Class 2 felony. It becomes a Class 1 if the worker gets hurt. It now heads to the governor. State Senator Chapin Rose says it's a good bill, but it's not enough.
It's about damn time we did have a penalty enhancement for this. And you know what else we need? We need MACE for these people. We need self-defense training, paid for by us, not paid for on their own dime. On a day off.
Lawmakers have tried for years to pass similar legislation, but the January murder of Deidre Silas renewed the focus. Silas was stabbed to death while conducting a child welfare check near Springfield. I'm Alex Degman.
Students from several Illinois colleges gathered yesterday on the University of Illinois campus to recognize this year's Transgender Day of Visibility. They say they were there to protest anti-trans legislation in the United States. Azer Matin is the president of the Campus Union for Trans Equality and Support at the U of I, which organized the event alongside the university's Young Democratic Socialists of America. Matin says it's important to provide resources to transgender people.
I know that when I was in high school, if I didn't have access to different resources, I'd be in a much worse place than I am now.
Jordan Duncan, a former student of Southern Illinois University, heard about the rally and wanted to show support.
Reducing the harm that comes from loss is essential, and that can be done through banding together.
Speakers at the rally encouraged students to call politicians to demand support for the LGBTQ plus community and to donate to groups that support transgender individuals. Plastic bags filled with rocks and flyers advocating for the Ku Klux Klan were found on the University of Illinois Urbana campus yesterday. The flyers displayed a drawing of a KKK member and the quote, "Klan is awake." Their appearance comes about 5 weeks after similar bags filled with rocks and anti-Semitic flyers were discovered on the U of I campus. U of I Chancellor Robert Jones sent an email to the campus community denouncing the flyers last night. Jones says in the email he's angry that, quote, "such small-minded people continue these stupid and futile attempts to foster division," end quote. Still to come, Congress is fighting about continued funding for COVID-19 testing, vaccines, and treatment. We'll learn more about the consequences if that funding is not restored. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
In the German mystery series Luna and Sophie, best friends Luna Kunath and Sophie Pullman are crime-solving partners and polar opposites. Luna is strong-willed, but her naivete gets her in trouble. Sophie's desire for harmony causes ripples in their partnership. But they find a way to work together as part of an investigative unit in Potsdam, Germany. Learn how you can stream the first two seasons of the series as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Congress rejected pleas from the White House in mid-March to pump more money into programs that ensure COVID-19 tests and treatments are free for everyone. Side Effects Public Media's Fadi Yousri reports the funding cuts will likely worsen health disparities.
If you're among the 1 in 10 Americans who lack insurance, you could be billed for COVID tests that used to be free.
What I see playing out is uninsured people avoiding COVID-related care.
Dr. Adam Gaffney is an ICU doctor, an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. He worries people who get sick will choose not to get tested. Then they won't know if they have COVID and could unknowingly spread the virus. And there's another issue.
In 2022, we have several important therapies that, when given early, can prevent the development of severe COVID pneumonia. Paxlovid, monoclonal antibodies.
The oral antiviral Paxlovid has been shown to cut the risk of hospitalization or death by as much as 89% for high-risk patients. But to get one of these treatments, you need a positive COVID test and a prescription. Gaffney says uninsured and underinsured people may avoid getting tested for fear of a steep bill, and that will cut them off from life-saving therapies.
We're beginning to treat COVID more like any other illness, care being rationed by ability to pay. And that's the exact opposite of what we should be doing.
Even when federal dollars made sure anyone could get tested or treated for free, disparities were glaring. One CDC study showed racial minorities were far less likely to receive monoclonal antibody treatments. And during the Omicron surge, many states saw extreme shortages of those antibodies.
Centering equity is most important when there are not enough supplies for everyone.
That's Dr. Douglas White, the chair of ethics in critical care medicine at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center.
The problem right now is that many states have sort of ignored the need to focus on fairness and instead essentially put in place mechanisms that make it a first-come, first-served process.
The White House says the federal funding cuts mean COVID treatments could run out as early as May. Public health experts warn disparities will only get worse as supplies dry up. And most places aren't even tracking who gets the millions of doses already purchased by the federal government. Health officials in states like Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois have steered supplies to major hospital systems and commercial pharmacies. But they say they're not asking them to collect demographic information about who receives the treatments. And that concerns Dr. Giselle Corby, director of the Center for Health Equity Research at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
The reality is that these data are critically important. Health inequalities disappear when we stop collecting data on race and other social identities. But the impact does remain.
She says we need data to figure out what the barriers are for people who need COVID treatments. Dr. William Trick of Cook County Health in Chicago agrees. He worries some people don't even know these treatments exist.
The problem isn't just one of distribution. It's how do you get the people to come to know to take the medication and come to the right clinical setting to get the medication.
Federal COVID programs aim to address barriers like these with varying degrees of success. George Washington University health policy professor Jeffrey Levy says Congress's move to slash funding now is part of a pattern. The U.S. often pumps money into public health during an emergency, then scales back once the crisis feels over.
I think what we're seeing now is, for the first time, Congress actually cutting back in the middle of an emergency, which is even worse.
Levy says the boom and bust funding pattern makes it nearly impossible to sustain improvements in health equity, and it's the nation's most vulnerable who suffer. Farah Hussri, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a Midwest reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a high of 48 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Caroline Kabzanski, Alex Degman, Madison Holcomb, Farah Anderson, and Fada Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.